Hey everyone, this is Oel.
And this is Sway.
Yes, of MarriedPreneurLife.com. And you're checking out the Married Preneur Life podcast. This is where we help high achieving married entrepreneurs who want to get more clarity, generate more income, and of course, have a greater impact.
Yes, we are legacy builders and we are super excited today to get started and to introduce you all to an amazing couple. We have Pedro and Suzette right here. They're going to be sharing their story of marriage, of marketplace, ministry, bringing it all together. And so we want to just go ahead and introduce you all to the show. And the crowd goes wild.
Insert applause.
As they should. They're still clapping. I can hear them.
Welcome.
Hey, guys. So good to see you again.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we want to first start off with you all just sharing a little bit about your background, marriage as well, and then go right into to the business part, and we'll talk about how ministry ties all in for you all as well.
Cool. Sure. So I'll make it as brief as possible. Just talk for me. So my name is Pedro Adeo. It's my wife, Suzette. We, about a year ago, we founded something called the 100X Academy, which is it's a powerful training program and community for on-fire, kingdom-minded entrepreneurs. Before that, we were very heavily involved for about the past decade or so in the financial services business, primarily serving people that are in retirement or near retirement. We have been married 22 years.
Oh, nice. Crowd, once again.
Yeah, 22 years. And then
we have three children.
Three kids. Our first went to college, right?
Yeah, well,
away to college.
Away to college. We already have a 19-year-old that's already in college. He's about to turn 20. And then we have a daughter that went away to college. So Mama Bear is kind of like, oh, I'm still trying to find myself in that whole mix of having one go away, and she's about 7 hours away from us. So yeah, that's a little hard. And she's 18. And then we have a 16-year-old that he's a junior in high school. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Got your hands full. God bless you all.
Seriously.
Okay. So we want to ask you first a few questions regarding the marriage and the business. One big thing that we are always talking about is different ways to protect your marriage from the business, because we know as entrepreneurs, it can be like really an all-consuming fire. It can be a vortex that it's hard to come out of at times, and you enjoy being a part of it because it's like you're wired to do that. But how do you protect your marriage from that?
Yeah. So this is, I am an entrepreneur by marriage.
I will explain
that. So I would say in our first 10 years of marriage, I never really considered myself as that entrepreneur. Like if you have the definitions of what an entrepreneur is, I really didn't have that until I became that. And how I mean by that is that, but just in the beginning of supporting my husband in his journey into entrepreneurship, that's probably been now the last 15 years. Before it was corporate, now it's been 15 years. I had to find my way in that. And now I'm proud to say that probably for the last 10 years, I consider myself an entrepreneur. And I think that was a role that I had to step into to support my husband. To get in the same mindset.
But don't you think it was really more in the last year?
Well, really more in the last year, of course. Yeah. But I mean, ten years ago, I supported the business and I played a role in that.
Sure.
But really in the last year,
it's
really been taking off about just really what that means, right? What that really, mm-hmm. really means. And what that means in our marriage too. Mm-hmm. So,
I would say, she's always been supportive as me as an entrepreneur, and she was helpful with our financial business, and she was at the events, and what her involvement in the financial company was very strategic. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a lot of hours, mm-hmm. but the time that she gave was very strategic. With 100X, I've really seen her flourish really into a full-blown entrepreneur where she's lots of great ideas, really, really completing the vision, really helping me deliver. 100X, one of the greatest compliments that we have about our movement is it's not just we don't have fans.
Right.
We don't have fans. We don't want fans. Mm-mm. It's not even a community. Mm-mm. We're not just building a culture. All those are great. And that's the high bar for most secular companies is to build culture, build community. We actually have built a family.
Yeah. Right.
This is Arisa's family. And the kingdom is a family.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And most kingdom things don't actually have family. You can use the word kingdom and you can use the word kingdom and then does it make something kingdom? And so what we have is we actually have built family with 1,000 people right. all around the world. And that's costs. Not only does it cost time and money and it costs your heart, like opening up your heart to these people, to this number of people. Mm-hmm. But it also, there's a grace for people to feel welcome.
Right.
For them to actually, you can offer family and someone might not feel family because they still might have their own stuff about connecting. But one of the gifts on my wife's life, and we heard this before when we got saved, you know, 10, 12 years ago, 14 years ago, people would say, oh, you have a gift of hospitality.
Yeah.
And we did not know what that meant because right. we're Portuguese.
That was just normal, right? You know, serving people to your home, cooking, feeding them, sit down, making them feel comfortable. That was just a normal part of
who. This was cultural for us.
Yeah.
So we didn't think, we're like, what are these people talking about?
Like, we thought that was just normal.
But, and there is some cultural stuff there, but it's more than just cultural. Like there is a gift that my wife does have of hospitality, of making people feel super special and welcome. So the environment that we create in our live events, online, I could not do, 100X is awesome, and it wouldn't be as awesome without my wife because she actually brings that piece. So for the first time, like now we're actually doing this truly together.
Truly together, yeah.
The other business was not truly together.
It was more support.
She helped. She right. helped. This is something we do together. Yeah, of course I still have the primary, I still carry the shoulder, the primary responsibility of, you know.
The training,
the content, right. a lot yeah. of that stuff. But like, now it's
don't
like.
Don't ask me to make a funnel.
Right, but now, what my wife is contributing is not just helping me, she's bringing things that I do not have. Mm-hmm. And because of that, now she's growing as an entrepreneur because she's emotionally invested.
Right.
She's also seeing her own purpose, I think, she's finding her own purpose aside of Pedro, right? It's like aside of just being my wife, like this is something that like she sees herself moving powerfully in. Not just as my wife, but, you know, in her own way.
So I laughed for a couple of years. I felt, and this is something that I felt in the past. For a while, I felt like I was just Pedro Adeo's wife. Mm. And, you know, it was like, because I really took that lead of that supporting him, of making decisions and having that, I know that entrepreneur spirit in him and, you know, the wheels are going around in circles and all these ideas. And I was like a soundboard for him. I'm like, oh, that sounds good. Oh, that doesn't sound really good. You know, I feel that women are very great in discerning, you know, and I just feel that, you know, I had an extra grace for that, you know. Mm-hmm. And of who not to speak to. And that guy didn't sound very, you know, kingdom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even before we really even knew what, you know, this was 10 years ago, before we even knew what kingdom was, like, I was already like, oh yeah, no. And no for that person. We can't do that deal or we can't move that way. Or, to me, it was really, really just, it was preparing me. I believe it was preparing me to where we are now, you know? And so, You know, and we have to learn how to communicate with each other. In the beginning, it was very hard, right? Communication, especially with an entrepreneur, like I needed to understand my husband and how he worked and how he thought, because it was different than my thought process and how I worked. And so, because in the beginning, there was a lot of conflict of sometimes, you know, I used to feel that I was being sold an idea. Right? Like that, because Pedro, you know, he has that, you know, I was feeling like I was being sold into the idea, and I didn't want to feel like I was being sold to the idea. I'm like, wait a minute. No, I want to be, you know, present me and then let me make my own decisions. Like, don't tell me how wonderful it is. So for a few years though, we had that conflict. So over the years, we learned how to communicate. He learned how to present to me. Right. In a way that he's presenting to his partner, his wife, not as a client, you know, and that was really important. And then I needed to like give him space to actually, you know, present the whole thing without me interrupting every 2 seconds. Cause I would go, oh, no. He's wait, let me finish. I'm like, no, but I don't like that. Or, you know, and so there was a lot of that. So I think the way that now of how we communicate and how, is wonderful. Like, and that's why there's very little stress when it comes to a new idea or a shift in our business or an expansion of our business. Like our business is expanding. So like there is not very much stress. I mean, of course there's, you know, there's time of pressure, of course, because when you're growing that you feel that pressure, those labor pains, but it's nothing, you know, it's nothing overwhelming because we prepared for this. We've already prepared for what, you know, for what we're going now.
That is so powerful.
So good.
And you all have really touched on a couple of things that we really wanted to talk about. But I'll just ask this then, as it pertains to the business, how have you two defined your roles within the business? It kind of sounds like you're on that track to really clarifying that, but how would you like to answer that?
I mean, basically, I think, I don't know from a role standpoint, here's how it kind of works. I pretty much have the bulk of the ideas, right? I would say. They're not all good ideas, but I think they're all good ideas. I think they're all amazing. Actually, I think they're all amazing ideas for about, you know, and then, you know, 10 minutes goes by, the next day, I'm like, yeah, it's okay. So I do kind of have the bulk of
the visionary,
the vision. Yeah, the vision I do, but there's stuff that sometimes she'll get an idea for. That's totally cool. And I do take things to my wife. I am learning a little bit to not, I'm an external processor. So I learn by talking. I think out loud. Okay. The problem with this is I would try to do that with her.
Yes.
That's an awful idea. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I'm just talking through stuff. This might be crazy ideas that like I think are amazing, but tomorrow I'll be like, yeah, that was crazy. But she's all nervous and worried that I'm going to go
do it tomorrow.
Go do this thing. When I'm just talking, just talking. I have friends now that are not my wife. I do this stuff with, so I don't have to run her through the mill of just, it's emotionally taxing as a spouse. And I see this so often in our community. Like I can just tell. I can tell when people's marriages are not as good as they think. It's always the guy. The guys think their marriage is amazing, and I'm like, dude, you're an idiot. Like your wife is hanging on by a thread right now. Like how do you not see this? And then I'm like, hey, you know, Francine or whatever your name is. Well, you tell your husband the truth. How are you doing? She's like, I'm miserable. I hate him. I'm like, you see. And he's like shocked. I'm like, how did you not see? So the for real though, like it's emotionally draining to be married to a hardcore entrepreneur and visionary.
Yes. Yeah.
We've learned how to slow down, slow the pace of my ideas, process them through other people, only bring to them her once I really kind of feel like it might be something real. And then I just put it on the table. I don't try and sell it to her, convince her of it.
Yeah.
You know, because before I would try to sell her on stuff and then she would protect herself. And then so she would be like super negative and critical and put on like that I felt like it was like a wet blanket. Every time I come there, it was like, pff, wet blanket, no. Mm-hmm. And so eventually, our role is, like, I bring stuff to her. She brings confirmation to a lot of what I have to say. Mm-hmm. She will bring suggestions that will kind of, even when at times I feel irritated sometimes because maybe I think my idea is pretty amazing, and then she'll still want to like poke at it a little bit. I may be a little bit annoyed by it in the moment, but I've also, because of that, I'm like, then I'm like, well, then I actually find a better solution because of her pointing out that little thing. Mm-hmm. So in the moment, I still have to be very mindful of keeping, not getting triggered by why she's asking me these questions and why she's poking holes in my idea. Mm-hmm. I just let it happen, and it almost always leads to a better outcome. Mm-hmm. And then when she has ideas, she brings them to me, and mm-hmm. they're pretty much almost always really good. And I'm like, sure, babe, that sounds great. Let's do that.
And then the thing, too, that I really like to add to our community. So, of course, there's a behind the scenes, you know, me and him, figuring out like the next steps of training or events. But the one thing that I'm really passionate about of bringing to our community is that hospitality element, right? Where mm-hmm. I'm always thinking like, how can I make it like I'm just talking about our events for an example, like how can I make it like when you're first stepping through our door of our event, where you're so blown out of the water, like that minute, right? If so, it's beyond the smiley face or say hi. It's that warm feeling when you go to your grandmother's house. You know what I mean? And there is the food that's already out. And it's like, are you hungry? Oh, not really. No, but you need to eat, but you need to eat anyway, And it's that extra special gifts or that, just that extra element that just, to me, it's like how I would want to be treated, of course, when I go to an event, right? And so my brain is always working about how to make that true family and how that all of our events, and this is a compliment we get, it's a family reunion. People are like, our events should not be called conference. It should be called family reunions. Because it's a family reunion that you actually want to go to and you like everybody that's there, So that's the role. That's my biggest role. That's like, that's where I take the most joyful, I'm very joyful in that role that I play in the community.
That's so good. I want to ask a quick question. So we want to segue in a few seconds over deeper into 100X and what you all are doing and who it's for and all that great, amazing thing. So, but I know there are some couples, some married entrepreneurs who are listening and who probably want to know a little bit more about your journey up to where you are right now. And so when we're talking about these roles, would you say anything change for you all or switch for you all when you reach your first, your 7-figure mark? Did anything change in your home or even how you looked at things or your perception or any of that?
I don't think nothing's really majorly changed since we hit 7 figures. Of course, we maybe travel a little bit more,
We travel a lot more.
We travel a lot more, but literally we've traveled a lot more because of 100X. I feel like our last year, we've been traveling a lot more because of 100. There's a lot more freedom. There's a lot more freedom, I believe, that we have.
We were building up. So it wasn't like it was overnight success. It wasn't like 0 to 1 million.
Right.
So our other business was doing amazing.
Right.
So we actually hit 7 figures in our other business first. So we were doing 7 figures as a traditional financial professional, a very boring business, a non-influencer type business. No one knew who I was. I'm just some random guy.
Nothing really sexy about it.
Nothing sexy about it at all. I'm just a guy in Vacaville helping clients protect their money from, from a stock market crash.
But we
brought ourselves to it. We did amazing. I was in the top 1% of our industry. We already built a lifestyle in that prior business. We didn't do 100X for money. We didn't even do 100X at all. I mean, like, you guys know the story. Like, God tricked us into doing this. So we did not need another business. What did change was there was a time where I failed as an entrepreneur, we were doing well. I had given my wife a nice lifestyle. We had a great home and we were doing great. And then I got distracted with, I got kind of bored with my financial planning practice. Then I ended up starting to flip some houses and before I know it, I just got carried away. And all of a sudden now I left my financial planning business where I was making $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a year, taking zero risk. And now I kind of left that aside because now I got so caught up with this flipping business. Mm-hmm. And then basically that business, we were doing great when it was small and when it was more of a personal investment model. But when I tried to scale that business to go do more, it became a lot more management intensive and detail oriented. That is not my jam. So that business, basically my ability to sell my gifts, my knowledge, my charisma, my work ethic allowed me to build a business bigger than I had the wisdom and the infrastructure to support. Mm-hmm. And this happens a lot in ministry too. You see these very charismatic preachers and ministers, they get famous and all of a sudden you find out some crazy stuff, right? So we went through a hard season. So that whole thing kind of, man, it was rough. The whole thing fell on me and it was a hard season, like the hardest season, like 3 years of hell on earth, like millions.
I'm grocery shopping at my mom's house.
Millions of dollars in the hole.
Only putting $5 or $10 of gas at a time. Yeah. I mean,
we lost the million plus that we had, and then we lost $2-3 million that we didn't have. Imagine the worst things in business happening and happen. So for me, what was most important about getting back and hitting seven figures for the first, we had seven figures for the first time after going through hell.
Right.
After being in a 3-year depression, after wanting to die for the better part of a year. I literally wanted to die. Like my wife and my kids, I am the sole provider. Like their lifestyle depends on me. And here I am just in this cycle where I can't seem to get out, where I feel like there's no way out. So just to encourage some people, like I went from literally wanting to give up as an entrepreneur, looking for a job, wanting to give up on life. Within 3 years, had our biggest year ever, did over seven figures. So for me, what changed was like I had to re-earn my wife's trust again as an entrepreneur, as a provider. I had to, as a husband, I believe we're to be Jesus to our wives. We're to be God to our spouse. Like, obviously I fail miserably most of the time, but like, I don't want my wife worried about our finances. I cannot see any upside to having a wife worrying about finances. That's going to impact every area of your marriage. And so what makes me the happiest is, yeah, the awards are cool and all that stuff is fun, but like, I've won my wife's trust back. She feels secure. Her lifestyle, her life, and our kids' lives is no longer in doubt. Like there's businesses, there's tons of money in the bank that she can see every day.
We can pay for our kids' college.
We can
things
come up and just write a check. Like, oh, this happened. Right, who cares? Like, so just for me, that's what hitting seven figures did. And then, of course, we hit seven figures. Now one business. And then the Lord opens this other door now to launch a second business. And we're able to do seven figures in a brand new business, brand new niche, completely online. We're able to hit seven figures in that business in our very first 12 months.
Ooh. Wow. So,
in an industry that doesn't exist with people that allegedly have no money. They're like some of the most brokest people on the planet we're serving. And yet, and we're grossly undercharging for what we do. Mm-hmm. Grossly undercharging. My peers, all charge 5-10 times more for the same things that we deliver. And not even that. And here we are, still did seven figures our very first 12 months. And so to me, that's what makes me happy is my wife and kids don't worry anymore about can dad help provide? And you know what I mean?
Right.
That's powerful.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Amazing.
Thank you for sharing that story. I know it's going to help a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of what you shared has definitely been helpful to me as well.
So the big question is this.
How do married entrepreneurs like us who have decades of business building experience, how do we break through common communication, productivity, and profitability barriers all while living powerfully in sync?
That's the big question, and this podcast is the answer. You see, even if just one of you is called to entrepreneurship, the family is called to entrepreneurship. No, the goal is not the almighty dollar. We're aiming for the almighty impact. What's up? This is OL and Sway Buckley. Welcome to the Marriedpreneur Life Podcast.
Marriage Marketplace Ministry. Let's go.
Isn't this amazing? So this is only the first half of the full entire interview that we did with Pedro and Suzette. So stay tuned for part 2.